You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to minister this morning. Here we are starting out a new year. Just minister on your identity, who you are, you might say that. You know, I never was much of a title person. I'm real big on substance, and I always have a point, which is a lot of preachers don't have that. But a lot of people have 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, or 10. I generally have one, but at least I do have one, you know. Not always big on the title. We usually figure those out later. But basically, the theme or the subject or the topic is going to be about your identity, who you are. You know, there are some questions as Christians that you and I can answer very readily, very easily, that the world can't answer. When you think about it, I always heard it this way. There's three questions. Where are you from? Why are you here? Where are you going? The world has no answers for that. But we do as Christians. We know we came from God. We know we're here to serve Him. And we know we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. And yet, if you don't know Jesus, you couldn't answer one of those questions. You just wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what you're here for. You wouldn't know where you're going. And you don't know where you're from. And the world's basically confused about that. The whole world lies in an identity crisis, really. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know what they're here for, where they're going. You know, they're just some, you know, some product of some protozoan, some slimy little pool of scum that the sun hit one day and turned them into, you know, a squiggly wiggly that jumped out and, you know, began to walk around and burst out into wings and flew off, landed on a tree. The wings fell out and hair came out and a tail came out and he hung by his tail fell out and he hit the ground and became a man. From goo to you. But I believe the Bible has a better record than that. More believable record than that, incidentally. Are you with me? Because there's a problem where the sun came from and where the pool came from, where the scum came from, and where the protozoa came from. Well, we know everything came from God. Amen? And you and I came from God. Hallelujah. And we were born and made to serve Him. And when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, are born again and become Christians, we have a destiny. We have a purpose. We have a reason for being. And that is to be a witness and a light and to be a service to humanity, to suffer and sigh and die in humanity, to shine our lights for the Lord, wherever we are, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, daughter, son, brother, sister, just a citizen in our community. We are a light shining in a dark place. And you know what? We're just here for a short time. We got reservations in another place. Heaven is our home. Amen? We're going there. So I think about that, and then just to meditate on questions similar to that, there's three other questions that come up. You know, who am I? And what do I have? And what can I do? Those are good questions, too. Who am I really? I mean, we talk about things in the natural, like, well, I'm white or I'm black or I'm Hispanic. You know, that would be our race. Or we could say, I'm an American or United States citizen or I'm from Africa or I'm from France or that would be our nationality. You know, these are things many times we can't control. I mean, I can't control how I'm born. But in essence, really, that's not who I am. I mean, I'd have records on that. I mean, we could go back to birth certificates and we could go down to who our name is. You know, my name and who I am really is more than just my race or my nationality. Hello? Surely it's more than that. Surely who I am is more than the color of my skin. Who I am is more than the country I live in. Are you with me? Because all that will pass away anyway. That's all temporary. But I'm going to live on and on and on somewhere forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And yet even, you know, when you consider that, you have some documentation. I mean, you do have some resources. If you're a little confused about the matter, you can go back to certain records and find birth certificates and, you know, and those kinds of things that have a written record to validate and prove, you know, who you are, your name, and when you were born and, you know, your race, if that's the case. You can look that up on there. Your religious preference. You know, often we'll have that, what's your religious preference? And I always want to put it in there, I'm not religious, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But they want you to put Protestant, Catholic, you know, right on down the list. And Protestant really just has the connotation of we protested, you know, in the Reformation, the 95 Theses that Martin Luther hung on the door, you know, at the Diet of Worms. Y'all remember all that, don't you? I thought I'd get you real hungry before lunch, the diet of worms. And we protested that, so we split off in that sense, and now you have Catholics and protesters or Protestants. That's where the name came from, you know. But really, that's not, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. And that doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or a Protestant, or if you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian. But there again, on your record, you have a record that you could find, that you could dig up, that would actually, you could prove, if somebody argues with you that you're Fred Gonzalez, you can pull out your birth certificate. Or argues with you that you're a United States citizen, you can pull out a birth certificate. You can pull that out and you can show all this on a written record, who you are. And what you have, there's another instance there. You may be ignorant of all that you have, but for the most part, you probably know what's in your house, you know what your, you know, your home, your cars, and so on and so forth. If you were challenged, you know, you got titles and you got receipts and certificates that you could always appeal to. And really, legally, that's what the law says. That's what the law requires, is some kind of proof, some kind of validation that you can appeal to. And so, as confused as we might be, we can get down to something that is final, something that is legal, something that really says, this is mine, or this is who I am in the natural. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And even concerning what you do, if you're hiring on for a job, you know, you have resumes and you have references that people can validate and call to see if you really were there, really did go to those places and so on and so forth. Or if you really have this training, this certificate, this degree from college or whatever the case may be, there is some place that we can go to that goes beyond just your word against somebody else's word, and it always comes down to a written record. You ought to know where those records are. In the natural, we talk about that. You know, when fires happen, do you have a record, a written record of all your assets, what you own, things that are in the house, so on and so forth. A lot of people take it and put it in a safety deposit box so they can appeal to it. So if it were ever challenged, they go back and get it. Well, that's all in the natural. Are you with me? But really, the principle is not much different, spiritually speaking. Who am I? Well, I would say that I am who God says I am. Would you agree with that? That we are who God says we are. What do I have? Well, I'd have to say again, I have what God says I have. If God says I have it, then I have it. Amen? What can I do? Well, we'd have to agree again. We'd have to always say again, I can do what God says I can do. Now, I think all of us as Christians would agree that general statement, I am who God says I am, I have what God says I have, I can do what God says I can do. Here's the rub, as they say, to use a little archaic phrase. Here's the problem. Here's the burr in the saddle. Here's the glitch or the monkey wrench in the gears. We say that, I am who God says I am, I have what God says I have, I can do what God says I can do. But we don't really know what God says. We really haven't checked the record. Now, see, I can appeal, I can find the record in the natural of who I am, my birth certificate, and I can appeal and go back and find receipts and titles and deeds and all kinds of things to really get the legal jargon, the legal proof of what I own. And I can go back and I can get records of education, training, jobs I've been on. And I know basically where to go get it if the need arises. But do you know where it is that God says who you are, what you have, and what you can do? Do you know where the record is? Wow. Well, I'll do a little research and find that out. Amen. Turn to John 1 with all that in mind. John chapter 1. I want to help you. I don't want you to start 2008 out with an identity crisis. I don't want you to go through life not knowing who you are, what you have, what you can do. I don't know how far we'll get with this today. It may be a series. We'll just see. Go through it. It's kind of like that joke that I've told over and over and over. And I don't mind doing it because Brother Osteen used to tell it over and over. And I laughed every time he told it too. It's like that guy at that football game. He's down at the bottom of the bleachers. And there's a guy at the top of the bleachers that stands up and hollers, "Hey, Michael!" I'll just use my name. And the guy at the bottom of the bleachers stands up, turns around a little frustrated, looks up at the top where that guy's hollering, and then he sits back down. A few minutes later, the guy at the top bleacher hollers out loudly over the crowd, "Hey, Michael!" The guy at the bottom stands back up, looks back up. He's still mad and upset, looking around, and sits back down. The third time this guy does this, stands up at the top of the bleacher and says, "Hey, Michael." And the guy at the bottom stands up. He is furious by this point. He turns around and he says, "My name's not Michael." Now, the story goes, if you think it through, why in the world was that guy responding to this guy hollering out a name that wasn't his? I think that's kind of what we do in life, you know? We hear all kinds of people say things about us. Maybe the devil's saying something about us. Maybe we've been told all our life we're a loser, we're no good, we're worthless, and so on and so forth. But you know, really, that's not what the Bible says. That is not what the Bible says. We don't need to be even responding to that because that's not our name. Yet, if we don't know who we are, those things will affect us. People will say things about us. Husbands, wives will say things about us. Circumstances will take place, and then we'll start thinking we're failing, we're a loser, we're going under, and so on and so forth. Listen, failure is an event, not a person. Crisis comes to all, but that's not who we are. Those are just things that happen. Who I am is who God says I am. Well, I was raised this way, I was raised that way. Well, I'm not talking about your race. We're not talking about your environment. No, your environment is not who you are. Hello. We're not talking about your psychic determination, as they say in psychology, where you were raised in a certain type family and they raised you to be this certain thing. Listen, come on, man. You know better than that. I've had 5 children. Every one of them are different. Raised in the same household. I come from a family of 3, and all 3 of us are different. I mean, I always say I'm the white sheep of the family. Make no mistake about it, I was the worst one of the family before I accepted Jesus. I was the worst of the worst. But when I was born again, I became a new creature. Amen. And old things passed away, and all things became new. Hallelujah. And so I changed. Where the leper can't change his spot, as Jeremiah says, and where a white man couldn't change himself into a black man, or a black man couldn't change himself into a white man, or a Hispanic person couldn't change himself into an Asian, and on and on, because that's what you're born. Listen, spiritually speaking, you can be born again. You absolutely can be born again. And you can be changed. That's where the limitations of the natural stop. When you come to God, listen, all the limitations are taken off. With God, all things are possible. And now it's a matter of after you're born again, after you become a Christian, after you're saved, finding out who you are. I believe we're world overcomers. I believe that we are world changers. I believe we can make a difference. I believe we are making a difference. I believe I don't have to repeat the sins of my parents or the sins of my family or the sins of my past even. I'm not doomed to that type failure. I can make a break. I can make a shift. I can make a change because I have been changed. But I'm going to have to figure out who I am. I've got to find out who I am. I've got to find out who I am. I'm not confused about my name because I've heard it all my life. It's on all the documents that I ever signed. It's on all the legal documents concerning me. It's been drilled in me. It's just, you could call me Fred, you could call me George. I won't respond. My name's Michael. But see, I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that by repetition, by continually hearing it, using it, saying it. But we're not so convinced about biblical truths because we don't always say them. We as Christians often say things like this. Well, we're just old sinners saved by grace. Did you know really the Bible doesn't teach that? The Bible does not teach that you are still a sinner. The Bible teaches you were a sinner. The Bible teaches now you are a saint. Now you can sin, and you need to repent if you sin, but that's not who you are. You're not a sinner. You are a saint. Paul never addressed one group of people ever in all of his writings to the sinners at Ephesus. Not one time. Now we're talking about the record. I'm not talking about biblical. I'm not talking about preaching, teaching, things you've heard or I've heard, traditions, what you think or I think. We're just talking about the record. The record's very plain. In fact, it'd be good to go do a search on the word sinner and saint. You can get a concordance and do it. Real easy to do. And just check through the Scripture. Starting in Acts, that's the new covenant where Jesus rose from the dead. There was a difference after Jesus rose from the dead. From Acts to Revelation, you'll find that we are saints. The word sinner is hardly used at all. The only time it's used is in reference to lost people. Saints is always used in reference to us who have been born again, saved, to the church at Ephesus, the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Corinth, to the saints at Rome. That's what Paul wrote. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, you may not believe that, but it doesn't change the fact that that's the way it is. Your believing only allows you to experience something that's real. It doesn't make it real.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? I mean, this is a chair. Everybody say, this is a chair.
This is a chair.
Whether you believe it's a chair doesn't really matter or not. It does not matter one way or the other. It is a chair. What does your believing do? It allows you to come over here and sit down and benefit from what already is. You can believe God heals or not believe God heals. It doesn't change the fact that He heals. But believing will get you to the point where you can sit down in the chair of healing and benefit from it. You can believe God saves or you can not believe God saves. It doesn't change the fact that God saves. But believing will get you saved. Ooh, hallelujah. So as far as who we are, I don't know what you think about yourself. You know, I've got enough on my plate to think about me to be thinking about what you're thinking about you. Go figure that one out. You know, I heard this long ago, too. I thought this was pretty good. You know how you walk in a room and you think everybody's looking at you and everybody's thinking about you? You think I don't go through that? I'm standing up here preaching to you. But, you know, you walk in, oh, they're looking at me. Oh, they're thinking about me. You know, you get real nervous in a crowd a lot of times because you're so concerned about what everybody else is thinking. I heard Chico Holiday one time. He got saved and used to be a nightclub singer, and he came to Lakewood and he was preaching. He says, you know, the Lord really helped me on that one day. He says, I walked in a crowd and I was so concerned about what people were thinking. Everybody was looking at me and they were thinking about me. And I said, Lord, I just can't handle this. And he said, the Lord really helped me. He said, Chico, they're not even thinking about you. They're thinking about what you're thinking about them. That's always helped me a lot. Because I realize when I walk around, I'm not so concerned about what you're thinking about me. Because I know you're thinking, what's he thinking about me? He's looking at me. So I try not to stay too long on one person because then you get under conviction, you know. And I, he looked at me the whole time. Did you? You notice when he said lying, he looked at me when he said lying. Oh, come on. I was just, you know, I don't. All right. Y'all found John 1? You can handle it. You can take it. John 1, notice verse 19. Now this is the testimony. King James says this is the record. I like that. This is the record of the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Good question. Hey, that's what we're ministering on today. Isn't that neat how I got a scripture that kind of went along with what I was teaching? I try to do that. He says, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. Well, thank God he got that straight. And we need to get that straight, too. I'm not God, you're not God.
That's right.
Amen. You know the New Age t-shirt, got that crystal on the front. In this New Age, there are two things crystal clear. And on the back of it, it says, number one, there is a God. Number two, you are not him. That's actually a witness t-shirt for his New Age. So he says, I'm not the Christ. And they ask him, what then, are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. 22nd verse. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? That's a good question. What do you say about yourself? Man, I just can't ever seem to get this right. Do you say that all the time? You ought to quit saying that. You say, well, what do you mean? You ought to quit saying. Well, you ought to start saying what God says. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. We're not talking about positive thinking. We're not talking about Christian science. No, this is Christian sense as opposed to Christian science. They would deny that there is a problem. You know, they would deny cancer, deny pain, deny. No, we don't deny pain, and we don't deny cancer, and we don't deny problems. What we deny is their right to continue and rule and reign in our lives. What we claim is that God can heal that and God can help that. We realize there are problems. We realize there's needs and crisis. That's why we pray. There's a difference. We're not denying the reality of pain or problems or wrong. We're just saying we believe God's greater than all that. And if we come to God, God can help us and heal us of that, and we can overcome that. But see, there's a fine line here because people often accuse us or people like us that believe in confessing the word of just being mind over matter or blab it and grab it or name it and claim it. You know. Of course, I'd rather blab and grab and doubt and do without. But that's nothing. But it doesn't matter what you blab. What matters is what the record says. You can say what you want, but you have to reconcile it with the word. What does the word say? You can say your name's Fred, but if your record doesn't agree with that, it doesn't matter how much you think you're Fred. You're not Fred. You're who your birth certificate says you are. Are you with me? So what we're talking about is going to the record and finding out. And they ask him a lot of questions. He says, no, I'm not that. No, I'm not that. No, I'm not that. And then they said, well, what do you say then of yourself? That's a good question. He said, I am, 23rd verse, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Let me break it down. I am what the prophet said. Break it down a little further. I am what is written. What do you say of yourself? I say I am what is written about me. That's a good way to start out. It'd be a great way to start the year. It's to begin to say who you are according to what God said you are. Begin to say what is written about you. You say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, let me ask you a question here. How many of you are saved? Whoa, put your hands down. How do you know that? Where in the world did you get the idea you were saved? It's written, right? You should be able to quote a scripture on it. John 3:16 or Romans 10:9 or something along those lines. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You ought to personalize that and say, I believe that Jesus was given to me by God. Therefore, I will not perish, and I have everlasting life. I believe that scripture. And according to what's written, I am saved. I am going to heaven. Woo! How can you be so sure? I've got a record. I've got a certificate. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. I confess Jesus is my Lord. I believe God has raised Him from the dead. Therefore, I am saved. You have a right to claim that. You have a right to say that. Because that's what the Scripture says. And of course, if you know what the Scripture says, your confidence comes from the record. You can always pull it out. The devil gives you a hard time. Pull out the Bible and say, hey, devil, read this. Isn't that right? Someone says they don't believe what you're saying is true. You say, well, look, you read this. And if they don't believe the record, then they've got a problem with God, not you. Billy Graham said it real aptly one time. He was interviewed years ago they always use this example, you know, a Jew, a little Jew boy that was faithful to his Jewish faith, had given his life to his Jewish faith and died. And the interviewer, the journalist on one of the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, I don't remember which, they said, Reverend Billy Graham, they always called him Reverend Billy Graham, are you saying that this young boy, as a young boy, gave his life to his faith, Jewish faith, lived it out fully and then died, you're saying he won't go to heaven because he did not accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Is that what you, Reverend Billy Graham, are preaching? And he says, well, no, that's not what I'm preaching. He says, Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Reverend Billy Graham didn't say that. Jesus said that. What Reverend Billy Graham is saying is, I believe what Jesus said. And you'd have to go talk to Jesus about that if you had a problem with that. Are you with me? Now see, what Reverend Billy Graham had going for him is he knew where the record was. He knew where the source was. He knew where he put his faith. He put his faith in the record, what was written. We can come up with all kinds of scenarios. We can come up with all kinds of reasons why this may happen, may not happen, why this is right or not right. But the bottom line is, what does the record say? You can come up with all kinds of scenarios in your mind about yourself and about who you are or who you're not or whether you can do this or can't do this. But really, you need to find out what God says about you. You may have gone through some tragic experiences in your life, but that doesn't devalue you. You are still a valuable soul in the sight of God. You still count. You're still important. You're still a world overcomer. You're still a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're still born again if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You still have a destiny and a future and a hope. You still are who God says you are. Just because someone lied to you 100 times doesn't make the lie true. It may get you to the point where you believe it, but it's still not true. The truth is in the record. Woo. Turn to Romans. Romans 4. It's helping you this morning. I want to help you. I've had to do soul searching in my life. We all have to do some soul searching. You know, we all have skeletons in the closet, and we've all had things that, traumatic events that have happened to us, or things that happen in our family, in our jobs, or whatever the case may be. I hope you had a good life. I hope you had a good parents. I hope you had a good upbringing. But if you didn't, there's still hope for you. Are you with me? See, I am not the essence of who I am. I'm not Michael Williams. Michael Williams is who I am in the natural. That's how I was born in the natural. That's the name I carry in the natural. That's the name I go by legal documents and in friendships and talk to people and so on and so forth, respond to that name. But the essence of who I am, what I am, is a Christian. I'm an American citizen. Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for this country. I pray for this nation and pray for our leaders of this nation and pray for the future of our country. But still, I'm more than that. I'm a believer in Jesus. Because all this will pass away, but see, I will go on and on and on and on because I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I can overcome the past, and I can overcome failure, and I can overcome events that have taken place in my life. Maybe you've had some tragic events. Maybe you come from a dysfunctional family. I don't know. Joseph had a dysfunctional family. His brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, went back, told his daddy that he died. I don't know what kind of childhood you had. He gets over there and gets a decent little job as a slave, and then the boss's wife lies about him. He gets thrown into prison over a lie. He's thrown into prison, has a chance to get out because two men come in that he interprets their dreams for, and he says, "Remember me, one lives, one dies." He interprets it, "Remember me when you're restored to your position as the cupbearer of Pharaoh." And the guy says, "No problem. You got it, Joe. We got it. We'll remember you." 2 years later, guy forgot about it. But Joseph never gave up his dream. Never gave up his dream, see? Tragedy, oh, he had all that, but he never gave up and he never stopped. He never stopped believing that God had something for him. He'd have a dream years before that he was holding on to. And you know what? That dream came to pass. Woo! God forbid you throw your dream away. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. Don't you believe the lie. Don't you take the lie. The future is bright. It can change. It will change. You might be going through something, but praise God you're going through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice David didn't say, yea, though I die in the valley. He wasn't planning on dying down there. He was planning on coming out. He said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. So this cloud has got a silver lining. There is light at the end of this tunnel. Hallelujah. The sun will shine again. The tide will come back in again. I was reading a book one time about this guy. He had a picture by his door in his office. As he walked out, he'd look at it before he'd walk out. And the picture was a boat, like a rowboat, up on the shore. Way up on the shore. And the ocean was just seemed like it was way out there. And underneath it said, the tide always comes back in again. I love that. So the boat was just waiting for the water to come back. So you may just be waiting. You may be stranded at this moment, but the water's coming back in again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 4, notice this. Hallelujah. And I'll slowly bring this to a close. Maybe slower than you'd like, but or faster than you'd like. Okay. Notice what it says here, Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is God speaking to Abraham. Remember, God changed Abraham's name. From Abram to Abraham. We often talk about Abraham believing God for 25 years. He was 75 years old when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. I was trying to think of something funny about Ur. I was thinking it was just a stutter in his life, you know. Stuttering point, Ur of the Chaldees. But Ur of the Chaldees actually is present-day Iraq, is where that is. And all quit. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees into the land of promise, and he was 75 years old. That's Genesis chapter 12. And then he finally has Isaac 25 years later when he's 100 years old. And we often say Abraham believed God for 25 years. Actually, he did. He tried, but he got in the flesh, had an Ishmael. The whole Arab world came out of that, incidentally. Been paying for that sin for years. Not that all Arabs are bad, but in the Muslim world, when you think about it, traces its roots back to Ishmael. In the Quran, Muhammad and all of them trace their roots back to Ishmael. That's why they say all that land over there is theirs, because Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son. But he wasn't the son of promise. Are you with me? So, you know, he got in the flesh and tried to make happen what only God can do. That's like you trying to be good enough to go to heaven without accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. What you come up with is an illegitimate faith. Yeah. And that's even when you're having a problem, you try to solve it yourself without God. You will create an Ishmael. And we got a lot of Ishmaels out here. We need some Isaacs. But the point I'll make is he didn't really get in faith. He really didn't get in faith until he was 99 years old. And God visited him and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And then he started telling everybody, I'm Abraham, which means I'm the father of many nations. And when he started calling himself something differently, and he started saying something about himself differently, and he started saying what God said about him, in 9 months he had a child. Go read it. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. I hope y'all know I'm not making it up. But notice this, the 17th verse. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Calls those things as if that do not exist as if they did. Oh, maybe it's not happening, but it's the truth nonetheless. Maybe I don't see it, but it's the truth nonetheless. Now, we're not lying. He didn't say call things that exist as though they didn't. He said call things that don't exist as though they did. So we're not saying this is not a chair, because it is a chair. See, a lot of people twisted that, and that's where that Christian science comes in and Scientology comes in. They deny things. They're calling things that are as if they're not. But what we're doing is calling things are not as if they are. There is a distinction there. Well, that went over real big. I see you're going to chew on that one. But anyway, he says he calls those things that be not as though they were. In this case, he called him a father of many nations when he had no children. Amen. I mean, he had Isaac, but he had Ishmael, but he wasn't by Sarah. He was by Hagar. But he said, I'm calling you a father of many nations. Father of many nations. And so he began to call himself that. Hello, my name is Father of Many Nations. I'm 99 years old, no children. But you know, that's what God said. 18th verse. Who contrary to hope, Abraham, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall their descendants be. Let's break that down a minute. He believed that he might become what was spoken. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. He believed that he might become what was spoken. Is it important that you say the right thing about yourself? Yes, it is. It's important that you say what God says about you so you can become what is spoken about you. Whosoever believes Jesus Christ is born of God, 1 John 5:1. It's important that you believe that in order for you to come that. You'll never become born of God until you believe what's spoken about you. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, 1 John 5:1. When you say, I believe that, you know what? You become that. Y'all get it? So, what do you say of yourself? That's what they asked John. He says, well, I am what the prophet said. I am what is written about me. Are you what God says you are? It's a good question. Do you know what God says you are? Another good question. If you believe what God says you are, and you say what God says you are, you know what? You become what God says you are. How do I know that? Because I just read that. Didn't you just read that? Let's read it again, 18th verse. Who contrary, Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became. He believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Woo, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 9, we'll close this out. Getting excited now, aren't you? I'm going to close out. Okay. Matthew, is this helping anybody? I want to stir you. You know, I tell you, if anything we need in this day and age, we need clear vision. We need focus. Because there's a lot going on around us. There's a whirlwind of activity going around us. Circumstances, crisis, winds of change blowing and rain coming down and waves beating on our house. We need to get our feet grounded solidly in God's Word and start acting on God's Word and start saying what God says. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what 1,000 say. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. And when the storm blows over and the clouds dissipate and the sun comes again, you'll be standing there on God's Word, a winner. Hallelujah. And you can win. That's the good news. I'm not saying you hadn't sinned. If you have, you need to repent. You need to forsake your sin. But it's not the end. You can come back. You can start over. You can have a new life. You can. You can make it. You can do this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you because you're not alone. Okay. Y'all found Matthew 9? This is interesting. This is the two blind men that came across Jesus. You know, no one ever leaves the same when they get to Jesus. You ever notice that? There's all kinds of instances of people who got to Jesus with all kinds of problems, but it's amazing they left without the problems, which tells me a great deal that we can get our problem solved, our crisis taken care of, our tragedy taken care of, if we can just get to Jesus, if we can just get to Him. And it says here, the 27th verse, 9th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Everybody say mercy. I'd like to teach on that sometime. I don't have time right now. But they were wanting a miracle, and that was called mercy. Does His mercy endure forever? You know what the Scripture says? So if this were an act of mercy, then God must still be healing today because mercy is still around today, correct? If we could identify this as an act of mercy, and we identify mercy endures forever, because the Bible does say that, then healing's still around because mercy's still around. And they computed or connected that mercy with healing. Have mercy on us. 28th verse, and when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Well, what in the world does that matter? God's just going to do what he's going to do, isn't he? Well, no, according to Scripture, he's waiting for you to respond, for you to ask, for you to call, for you to believe. Just because God says it doesn't mean you're going to experience it. It's true, but it's not going to be experienced in your life. Just because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, doesn't mean you're going to have everlasting life. That's only if you believe that. There's a condition, see? There's a will involved. You have a will. I have a will. Now, if you will give your will to Him and you will come to Him, you can experience what He is offering you. And Jesus needs you to believe. Even in this case, He says, do you believe I'm able to do this? What would that matter? Well, evidently it mattered a whole lot. Evidently, it was the difference between healing and no healing. Okay. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yea, Lord. Which is what we ought to say every time we look at the Scripture. Yea, Lord. Do you believe that? Yea, Lord. Let me be your cheering team. Yea, 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 yea. Okay. Next verse. New King James, I'm reading here. Then he touched their eyes and said to them, according to your faith, let it be to you. You know what the Message translation says? This is so good. The Message translation says, become what you believe. Oh, I love that. In essence, we have become what we believe. We haven't all believed the right thing, but thank God we can change that. If you believe you're not going to make it, you probably won't make it. Right. Believe you can make it. With the help of God, you can make it. Right. Are you? If you believe it's over, well, go ahead and write your epitaph. It's probably over. If you believe that, if you really believe that. But if you believe what God says, it's not over. It's not over. Think about it. If you believe what God says, not to be crude or anything, but the fat lady will never sing. for you? Because it's never over. Become what you believe. What do you say of yourself? Good question. We ought to be saying what God says about us. Find out what God says. Maybe, you know, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the situation may be. I know we had a request for financial prosperity this year. Did you know that's scriptural? You can prosper. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have those. You can be a witness. You can be a light. Your life can change. Your business can be blessed. But you know how that's going to happen? You're going to have to start saying what God says about you. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He delights in my prosperity. He daily loads me with His benefits. He gives me the power to get well, to establish His covenant. Those are all scriptures that are just personal. You just personalize them. I am saved because I believe in Jesus. I am born of God because I believe Jesus is the Christ. I am saved because I've called upon the name of the Lord. I am saved because I confess Jesus as Lord and I believe God has raised Him from the dead. And I have a record on that. Amen? I got a certificate. I got a record. I got a deed. I got a title. I got it all right here. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Amen?